Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and you know what that means. That's your night for Raising Expectations. Boy, yesterday was Easter. What a wonderful time that was, thinking about the purpose that he had for us from the beginning of time. Everybody here on our team, we're born-again believers. Our sins are under the blood of Christ at Calvary, and like that old saying says, we're blood-bought, born-again believers. And because he rose on the third day, we were able to say, he arose, he is risen, he's alive. And it's great to be able to say, we're alive in Christ Jesus. We hope you know him as your Lord and Savior, because boy, does he have a plan for you. And the name of this show is commensurate with what he has ready for you, raising your expectations in all things you're doing, especially when you're plugged in, seated down, and ready to roll with the plan he has for your life. So again, we thank you for being with us today. We've got a great show planned for you, and I know many of you have looked forward to tonight. You've corresponded that. We appreciate all the people who call in or rather text in. We got a little old there. In the old days, you used to say send a letter, but anyway, we know that you actually text in, and we hear from you, and they're it's going to be a great night, and thanks all for checking in on this. We're going to begin the show, as we always do, by, again, letting you know that we pray for you. When you call in or text in, or everyone wants in a blue moon, send a letter, we do pray for you. It's important, and we're here to do that. Each of us love the Lord Jesus Christ, and each of us care about you. We may never meet on this side, but someday we'll all get together with the Lord and we'll say, hey, you remember when? That's the kind of God he is. He'll remember us from this very moment. We'll always be there. So tonight we want to get into our program because we're just going to have a good time, as you already are been responding to me on this. I'm going to introduce the team as I always do, because you may not know them that well. Some of you really know them, and some of you, all of you, are so thankful they're here. I'm thankful there. I'm Pastor Joe, and this, to my right, is my wife, Melba, and there she is, and that's why the wall has an M on it, just in case you wondered. We meet you from the Melba room, actually. We tell that, didn't we? But anyway, she and I are so excited to be serving the Lord together now, as you know, and so as we look forward to tonight, together, we're going to introduce the rest of the team to you. And we're going to start on the West Coast, as we always do, in the great city of Lompoc, California. And that would be where you would find Dr. Paul Hall. Dr. Hall and I have been friends. In fact, we were all friends many, many years ago, way back in school in Texas. And the school is still there because they had good students like Melba that were there. That wasn't it, was it, Paul? That wasn't in the script. But anyway, yeah, it's still there. We're thankful for it. But in any event, we are grateful for Paul. Paul's life. He's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He has so many things in his life where he's helped people. He's one of those men that's a walking help station. When something comes along, you have a need, he's a prayer warrior. And I say that because not only do people tell me that, but I'm one of those people. He's been that way with me in my life, and been a prayer warrior and a good brother in my life for, wow, over 55 years now. So it's very, very special. But we're still a Z generation, I think, or X generation. Or actually, Paul, they haven't figured out what we are yet. But we're just going to go right along from there. And we're going to jump all the way to the East Coast, right? To the East Coast in the great metropolis of Dalton, Georgia. And that's where you will find our good friends, Dr. Craig Thayer and his wife, Stephanie. And Stephanie's there on the left. Stephanie is a wonderful, godly woman. She is a wonderful mother and a wonderful wife. And she also is a great counselor and businesswoman, business builder. She does so many different things. But most of all, the love of God shines through her life. Mm-hmm. And it shines through in a special way to that nice guy on her left. That's her husband, Craig. We call him Tank. And Tank is a very, very special brother in Christ to each of us. By the way, as we do this, if you'll, on your website, turn to our website, which would be, where is it again? Yeah, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And that will take you to our page, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And on there, you'll find about the people we have on. There's Elizabeth Allard, you saw from last week, running for Congress here in California. And also the stories of the people that we're sharing with you right now. And you'll get to read a little about each of them and know that they're praying for you. So as we talk about the folks and you share with them tonight, you'll know that they're your family. You got extended family, folks. You'll find my book there, Legitimate Faith Produces Authentic Hope. Zig Ziglar got me to write that. He was my mentor many years back. And I hope you'll get a copy. And we'll encourage you. And right under is a great book right beside it called Saved. And that's by Dr. Thayer. And it's Finding God in the Ordinary. Saved is all about the things that God did in his life. And I really like what he put in the circle, Finding God in the Ordinary, because it's the ordinary things of life where God wants to pop up and remind you that he's with you. He's got the plans laid out and he loves you. He'll see you through whatever you're facing. So Dr. Thayer there, Greg on the right, it's great to see you guys all the way on the east, actually the south part of the East Coast. Yeah, Ray, you know that one, where that sits. So we're going to jump on the plane there and head our way back across Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, East Texas, and come in on the guide pass till we get to McKinney near Dallas. And in the great thriving metropolis of McKinney, we find one of our favorite pastors, and that would be Ron Greer, and a great intellect. Right, Ron. So Ron has been a pastor. Ron is everybody's friend also. What a brother in Christ. These people just bless your lives. I know you tell me about it, and they bless our lives very, very much. But Ron is a pastor. He's also a counselor with Man in the Mirror, helping men to become men, understanding why the things in their life are there, or maybe how they got there, and what God does to turn them into diamonds and the road that leads to his purpose. And so this is a wonderful group of people. They love the Lord, and God shines his light to each of them. And I hope you'll get to know them even better at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. Now, our guest tonight that we're going to have, I know you're very excited for them being with us again. You've been reading this week and some of the many things that have gone out that we send that you respond back on the different platforms that we mail out on. They're with us tonight in a very special way. You know, it's Dr. Pamela and her husband, Scott Pyle, and the Thriving, they're back near the Thayers in South Carolina. And their life is a story. I could read the whole day about what they've done, what God has done in their life. We're going to let them do that for you. Pamela, as a doctor, has written some great books. She has a book now, again, Anticipating Heaven. And you know about that. Here it is right here, a little bit of that. Spiritual Comfort, Practical Wisdom for Life's Final Chapters. Boy, the peace that passes understanding of John 14:27 will come to life right before your eyes when you read that book and give you strength for each and every day. So tonight, her husband, Scott, is with her. Scott's an incredible man, the things that he does, including helping with things in Washington, helping with the men on this cabinet, helping in our president's area. He's a wonderful man of God, and we got to know him last time, and boy, there's an old saying, when you get older, he's the real deal. And that's why we're excited to have them with us again. We just count a part of our extended Raising Expectations family, as you know, and they'll be coming. We've got a great lineup of them coming down the road going into the summer. So tonight, we want to give the right hand of fellowship, which is actually, we want to do the around the world applause. And one of these years, we'll figure out the same. Welcome to Raising Expectations, Pamela and Scott. That's it, Pamela. Thanks for bringing it in. Hey, Scott.
You gotta learn to clap.
I was hugging my wife, so I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. That counts. That counts. That counts, yeah. Well, we're so thankful that you're with us tonight. We know, we read about, we hear about the things that God's doing in your lives. You're great encouragers, and the encouragement that people need today, they always find when they talk with you. You're on our prayer list. We pray for you all the time, Scott and Pam, and you know too. So share with us a little bit about what God's doing and how that impacts not only your lives, but how it can impact others. And like you said earlier, as we talked about, the things that are difficult in the world today, but we do see that God is working in all those things. I love what we talked about, the good news. God can handle it to what he's having us share. So welcome. Share with us. We're glad you're here.
Me? I can't believe she wanted me to go first. Can you believe it? Well, we just celebrated 34 years of marriage Saturday, so it was a great So we, it seems like she and I are somewhere other than home. We have been up in D.C. a lot, and it is an interesting time in our country.
Yes.
With what's going on in wartime, banging in the desire for peace through strength, and sitting with a cabinet who the depth of their faith in Jesus Christ is overwhelming and very impressive. I don't know about big time, but in my lifetime, I've never seen a more godly group running our country in the cabinet that this president's put in place. So it's very, very encouraging.
Amen. That's something.
So anything in particular you guys want to talk about tonight?
Bella, share with us a little bit about that. Take us in with it for both of you.
Well, we talked
about some of the things happening in your mission work and some of the things we know you're helping with. And just enlightening that way. That's always so exciting to hear.
Well, it's really, if you go to greatgrants.ai, we now have our website up to help aligned organizations find federal, state, and private grants to align our faith with really compassionate acts of Christ. Caring for those, sitting with those, loving on those, healing those, and working on not just promoting human flourishing, but I got to do the two hands of the gospel. I can't sit like that anymore. Compassionate acts. And it's amazing how much our government has been spending on what I call and many others call the engine of harm. The engine of harm was built by some pretty wicked billionaires and politicians over the last 20 plus years. And now you see many Christians coming together to work with our government, work with our communities, work in the governor mansions to create an engine of good. And it really is what Christ called us to do, is sitting with those in need, helping them through their difficult times, and helping them restore themselves while sharing his gospel message. First living it out, and then speaking it out.
Amen. Yes.
Can you give some examples of what you would, or entities that are, that fit that engine of evil?
Oh, my goodness. I will say, it is very easy to name some of the names, such as Soros. And George Soros really went about it in a methodical way and continues to buy the airwaves, to buy TV stations, radio stations, get into politics, get not only into the big level offices, but into the local offices. I think in the last handful of years, we've heard about the prosecutors and the attorney generals that have been put in places of power who won't enforce the law. That is a simple example. But it is estimated that our current government debt, now this is an estimate by the current administration, that as much as $14 trillion of our debt was pushed through this engine while they took profits off our tax dollars to redistribute them to buy out our institutions, such as education, the universities, what is taught, what books are sold, what books are bought. What stores are successful? What stores are closed? It's a significant amount of money that I believe the United States Treasury, when Barack Hussein Obama took the oath of office, was weaponized against everything American and everything Christian.
Yes.
And I would say just an addition to that is that we have learned that a lot of the USAID dollars that were intended for good programs were diverted to actually be used essentially as blackmail against countries, especially developing countries, to
Promote.
make them agree with the ideology of the extreme left. And I'm not saying Democrats, I'm saying extreme left ideology, which is about 10% or less of our country, and
Right.
enforcing them with the dollars of, if you don't agree with our ideology, then we will remove USAID dollars.
Making abortion a human right versus so they can then try to enact it through the Geneva Convention and bring countries into trouble. It's you just can't imagine the tentacles. We've mapped it's an interesting journey that they intentionally have used our money against ourselves. And that's why I encourage Christians and I encourage church in America to wake up that we're not fighting Democrats. We don't fight flesh and blood. We fight dominion powers and principalities
Yes.
and demons. And they have taken places of power because we didn't show up. We forfeited
Yes.
the last 18 years. And so we don't fight Democrats. We don't fight Republicans. We fight, I will tell you, governmentally, we fight socialist, Marxist, communists. And spiritually, whether we want to say it or not, there's a war being waged against the Christians, and we need to wake up through the war that's being put upon us before it's too late in our country.
And a world.
Yes. In the world, yeah. Amen.
I do see
Go ahead.
that. Okay. All right.
No, please.
No, I
Go
just
ahead,
see
Dave.
that recently with Texas, Tallarico. Maybe Ron can speak up on that guy. Coming across as a Democratic Christian guy, but he's seminary trained in a progressive church. And he said, on Joe Rogan, because I listened to a podcast, that all I believe in is whatever the red letter is in the Bible. So whatever God's or Jesus said, that's what I believe, nothing else. And yet he kind of supports or brings up in Rogan's podcast things that are part of, what we believe in the canonical of the Bible. And then goes through, topics that are really hard to handle, abortion, gay, that kind of stuff. And miss this is that counterfeit of Satan that just misrepresents, right? So, and my point is, and Ron will support this, I'm sure, is that politicians can fight that when they debate, right? But it needs to be us, the body of Christ, and it needs to be the shepherd of our church to step out and say, this isn't right, and this is why.
Yeah, it really goes back to, we are to take care of the widows and the orphans and those who can't care for themselves. And somewhere along the way, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, the church gave it over to the government. And the government will willingly take more authority, more money, and quite frankly, keep us divided while they are ineffective in what they do. And the federal government, I will say this over, was never meant to be what it is today. The federal
Yes.
government is a beast that the states would have never allowed to happen, but under Woodrow Wilson, the states used to appoint the senators in the original Constitution. That was changed under Woodrow Wilson because he convinced the people, don't you want to elect your senators, to the government, but they didn't understand it. We elected the House of Representatives. The states got two appointments each, and there were no elections. So if a certain senator wasn't representing that state, they were just called home and someone else was sent back. But all of these social programs would have never been put in place had the states had their position in the federal government. And that's one of the big reasons why we are where we are.
Yes, interesting. Whoa.
I echo your commentary on the church, church leadership, because I would agree with you. We are where we are because God's people stopped being God's people.
Yes, sir.
We hid inside our church doors and kept our faith and everything within the church inside the walls, and stopped being in a public square. You're very it is very seldom you will ever hear a prominent pastor standing anywhere talking about so-called political or social issues, or trying to make sure people understand that something is evil or wicked and harmful to folk. They don't. I'm sorry, they fold. And the handful that you do have, they're so ostracized by the media that no one hears them. But you have pastors with huge platforms who
Yes.
do a great job with media and other things for happening in their church. But when it comes to issues that are affecting everyday lives, they don't. And the country, it's, I mean, and I think you're right. But I would say, you can go back before Woodrow Wilson, when this decline started. But yeah, I think Woodrow Wilson was one of those key figures, along with Roosevelt.
Yes.
Sorry to
Roosevelt
all the Roosevelt fans
right
out
on
there.
top, didn't he? Yeah, he expected it.
Yes.
Go back to what a monarchy is, and you look at who our true enemy is. Our true enemy's here since Adam and Eve, and the plan has been to usurp God's plan. And if America goes down, who comes to our rescue?
Well, I have friends,
Clearly not.
friends that I know in Africa, another guy in Haiti, and a couple of friends from Latin American countries. And we've had this conversation with one or the other sometime or another. They were scared to death before Trump got elected the first time, and they were scared to death after the Biden got elected. And they keep asking the question. One here in particular, if I named his name, you would know his son, but I won't. But he lived under communism. He went through the whole revolution, and he says, and they all say, if America folds, we have no place else to go. There's no one, and they're seeing the one friend is from Cuba, and the other friend from I won't name the other one, but his son's a U.S. senator.
Yeah.
I
Ron, you really touched
didn't
on
mean to say his name, but
we have to stop hating our own country.
yes,
I say our country's so great. Our country's so great, even the people that hate it won't leave.
Won't leave.
Exactly. Exactly. That's
But we
right.
have to stop. Rwanda gave us such we should really teach the story of Rwanda so much louder. Because it's where we all end up if we keep blaming each other for our problems. But true forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration of the people. But when you look back over time, I mean, in many ways, you could call our federal government, not any individual, but the institution, a monarchy of its own. It's a beast. It has its own agendas. That even when we elect whoever's elected in 4 years, they hardly get a handle on the difference. And so, Tank, to your question, what are we seeing? We're seeing that really those who want to see change for the people are beat up by this thing called the deep state, these career people who don't want to change for the people. They have their own agenda. And so it's time that the church breaks out of the four walls, engages the community, and takes back its rightful place in this country, which is not separation of church and state to keep us out of the state. It was to keep the state from ever to telling us when and where we can do church and what it'll be.
Amen. That's right.
So we just have to take our rightful place back. And that's what we're doing in the organizations we're a part of, and as overtly and covertly as possible.
Well, we sure have a president that stands strong. I pray for him also every day, and he stays strong. And he's a character in many ways, and I would say that with all respect, but he always has a hidden point in what he says, and it does come through because he's reaching people that know exactly what he means, along with everybody else. Even if the Easter Bunny didn't like that one thing he said, as one Newsmax commentator said, he was laughing. He said he understood it and it was fine. I just wonder how this man every day as our president could get up and face Congress and what they're doing, and basically just stalling. They don't want to do anything, and yet still stand strong and wait. To me, he's a pillar of patience at the proper time and moving forward at the right time. You're going to make some mistakes sometimes on that, but you get it done, and in the end, you can see exactly how. He's really in my prayer. And like with NATO, for example, I mean, where was NATO? Where is NATO? You look at the history of NATO, and it's give me, give me, give me. How many times did we rebuild Europe, the financial, and forgive the debt? And so many things like this. And now when he called out, I guess, Scott, if you did you hear anything, or Pam, maybe something in, along the line that they had worked out a deal where they could use the Straits for their nation if they didn't give the airfields to the United States. Now, I don't know that that's anywhere near fact. Did anybody hear that?
Well, there's all kinds of, one thing you learn,
Floating.
stay away from State Department rumors. But how I just want unity, not just within, I mean, Christians, we should lead by the love we have for one, but even this No Kings March, really fundamentally, it's a great point. But if we really have a problem with no kings, then why are we letting senators and congresspeople be up there for 30 and 40 years to where we're propping these men and women up like weekend at Tony's? But I think the people have forgotten. So I believe the church has lost its place. Therefore, the country has lost its understanding of who has the power. And we keep putting these same people into Congress and expect a different outcome. And we agree on, as a country, 70 to 80% of term limits. And
Can't get it.
we have to just agree nobody over 16 years can go back. We have to find, and I really do believe that's why the evil one divides in the public square and in the community, because if you really sit down with most Americans, we agree on 70% of the stuff. If we would talk more about what we agree on and less about what we disagree on, so we could find trust across the aisle of just humanity, then we are making a change in our country. If the Christians would show up and vote biblically, put their personality aside, whether you like them or like her or don't like her or don't, vote biblically, we would control this country.
That's right.
We're not. So midterms are incredibly important unless we want to live the next 2 years in investigations, indictments, and what is it when they vote to throw the president? Impeachments.
Impeachment.
Impeachment.
I would like to add also regarding President Trump, the interesting thing about him is, I agree with you, Joe. To me, it is beyond my capacity to understand how he is able. I mean, he's fighting
So much.
wars on every front, from internally to the media to, externally in our country and beyond. And yet, and he sleeps 1 to 4 hours. at the most.
He lives off of Big Macs. I
He
mean, how do
and Diet Coke.
you?
Yeah.
He's like George Burns. Remember George Burns with a
Yeah,
cigar?
I know. It's Gracie and George.
He's got George Burns genetics.
Well,
Yeah,
McDonald's
exactly.
Big Mac and McDonald's Diet Coke is kind of the best.
Oh, my goodness.
Other than Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's quite remarkable what his capacity is, but he's still this human of existence, of personality, that just like us, we don't lose our personalities when we become Christians. We work towards grace and we work towards redemption of sin. And as Paul says, the closer I become to Christ, the more aware I am of my sin. And he, I think he's in his spiritual journey of wanting to be like the other Christians, but he's still Donald Trump that doesn't trust people. He's been hurt by people. It's hard for him to forgive. He doesn't quite understand
But it's
even
also
how
worked
that's
for,
possible.
right? I mean, he's the president. It's worked.
But I mean, it has worked, but I it's like this understanding of he's still the human
That's right.
man. I think he's a relatively new believer, and he's working his journey out amid the people. I mean, not the people, all millions of people hating him,
Yeah.
to the point of wanting to kill him. And so
But
I
the
can't even imagine what it's like to be him. And all we can do is pray for him and our administration during this time, because I do believe, the greatest hope we have found is truly in he is surrounded by deeply
deep belief.
faithful believers.
Who
Yes.
and who speak so highly
Yes.
of him. And I remember when the media would make fun of President Biden and embarrass him, and how angry, upset I would be, because that is not how I want our country portrayed. And really,
Yes.
get his wife to get him. I mean, who, what, take care of
Who's,
him.
yeah,
Who's
who's
ready?
watching that?
So
Exactly.
remember as a young man being taught to respect the office and to res and to yield to our government, because God forms governments. It's from the Bible that we get our government. And so I'm encouraged in the meetings I am and have the privilege of, and Paula White and what they've done with the faith office and how they continue to fight in the name of Christ for our freedoms, for our allies. And I tell you what, Africa, this administration loves Africa, loves the health, is wanting to do things for Africa that never heard. And we've been in that continent for 20 years now, and expect to hear some pretty big things
Yes.
about helping Africa and the health of Africa. And we need to get China out of Africa. China is just another imperialistic invasion of Africa.
It's unbelievable how much of Africa China owns.
Yes. Right.
Wow.
Nobody
Well,
knows.
China, Africa, Central America, and just keep going down the list. It is a wicked plan. Hey, I remember as a kid, well, ancient days,
Before
but in
the
particular,
wheel.
our church and pastor, and there was like a network of pastors in the same sort of part of Milwaukee, very, very politically active. Look, for instance, every year there is a voter registration drive. Our church had one. The four big giant big churches had them, right? They would literally call you out on Wednesday night or on Sunday evening if they went down the roll and saw that you weren't registered to vote. And
Yes.
this was 15 at the time, it was like 1500 people church, which was
That's
huge back
impressive
then.
to
They would, I mean, Reverend Phillips would literally call, "Hey, Sister so and so, I don't see you registered to vote. I'm looking at the list here and I don't see you. And oh, Bob, I don't see you on the list."
Yeah.
That's how active we were, right? But the other thing was, if you were running for office, if someone, a pastor and some prominent figure, couldn't testify or couldn't, give you an endorsement as a Christian man or a Christian, a solid Christian running for, you weren't getting elected. There was no way you're gonna get elected. If someone said that you weren't a member of a church, that you weren't a very good Christian, you were gonna get no traction at all. But I'm saying that late 60s, after the whole revolution, the first attempted, is when a lot of that was lost. We had a lot of churches that went back into the closet. And a part of that is what Telerico is doing now and has perfected. It's an old tactic. The Marxists realized back in the 20s and 30s and 40s that they weren't being successful. And primarily in the two groups that they were trying to get in and have fighting each other, black folks and so-called racists. So the strategy was find the thing that's most powerful within the communities and then infiltrate that. And they infiltrated churches and seminaries, and they've never stopped. So now you have a number of pastors who use the term pastor, like Al Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton. That's why they all become reverends, right? And then, like you said, they take Christian and biblical rhetoric and change the meaning and use it, means something totally different. And you have people, and unfortunately, I'll say it. Unfortunately, I think the church Christians now are probably the most biblically illiterate generation in
Yes,
American history.
it's
So
true.
someone can say things and talk, have them believe things that are completely contrary to the Word of God. Completely contrary.
We
One
have like
last point. One last point. So you have 200 and I think it's somewhere around 220 or 230 billion, a million people, billion people rather, who identify as some Christian, right? You have somewhere around 110 million, I mean, who are, I mean, million rather, who identify as born again Christians with a worldview. And I challenge anyone, show me one single race in the country that 100 million people couldn't decide. There's no way we should have anybody in Congress or in the White House or any other position or any state office that don't submit to the will of God. Not nowhere at all. It's only because the Christians aren't doing it,
And that goes back
aren't doing it.
to the question, the engine of harm and what they built. They first went after the local governments
Yes.
and the institutions. So
Yes.
schools, the education, any
Right.
they could infiltrate. And then
Yes.
once they could get in the governance, then they started growing those people
Yes.
up the governmental chain, and they
Absolutely.
became indebted morally,
Yes.
financially. And now we know
Yes.
the sexual predator world that exists in our midst. But
Yep.
then the last in the chain was corrupting ministers.
Yes. Yes.
That's where we are today. Pay, and you see on these marches, Catholics for whatever,
Exactly.
Christians for whatever, and they have these pastors in these
Yes.
rainbow outfits who've been ordained somewhere, and that's to Ron, you really nailed it, and we can now play that book back and see systematically the
Yes.
root of evil and how
Yes.
money is the tool they used against us to
Yes. Yes.
conquer the
Well, I that's one of the things I appreciate about Charlie Kirk, as young as he was, he got a clue. It's like you understand how they tore down in order to say, okay, this is how we got to rebuild. Go into the institution with young people, into college campuses, and actually start teaching and training them. And then he finally got, I think, got bought into a point, realized that it couldn't just be about politics,
No.
which is why his talking points went past the politics, now into this whole focus on biblical morality, understanding the scripture and our faith. It's exactly why they kind of made that turn, because him and folks around him realized, without the church and now people recovering, the church recovering, politically, whatever you accomplish is only temporary. If the culture is gone, it doesn't matter. It won't hold. It will not. So I agree with you. We need to get the church needs to be re-engaged, and in society, in the culture, maintaining the kingdom of God, God's kingdom principles. If that's our job, it's us. It's not other folks and politicians.
I have a
I just
couple.
wanted to add real quick about Charlie. We've known Charlie about 10 years. We first met at the National Prayer Breakfast. Obviously a brilliant mind, and one of the things that kind of attests to what you were saying, Ron, is there's a great apologist. His name is Frank Turek, and Charlie intentionally went after him to become his mentor and teach him about apologetics. And that became such an important aspect of these college visits. And Frank was right there when Charlie died. But he did understand that we can have all of this political ideologies and discussions and disagreements and conversations, but without bringing the hope of Christ, we are nothing.
Amen.
It's just
Amen.
empty words and empty policy. So Jeff, you were going to say something, so I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. We both were thinking at the same time. So, we've had many candidates that have come on the show over the years, and they express the same thing, just sort of this lack of enthusiasm, endorsement, conversation within the church. Elizabeth is one of those. She was here last week, and that's one thought. And then the other thought is that we do have this younger generation that is coming up, and they don't want what I would describe as church life. They are not interested in three steps to be a good person, have a good week. They're like, absolutely not, right? They want meat. And that's a bit refreshing. And so I think we're starting to see some movement and change. I don't know if it's enough, because what you are saying, Ron, I agree with completely. I have never been in a church that talked openly about, are you registered? Are you going to make a difference? What are you doing? It was just kind of like side rumorings. There were no, I've never experienced that my entire life. And I think it's a shame, because the Bible is the blueprint and the foundation for politics, for judges, for rulers, the entire thing.
Amen.
We could agree to pick. See, this goes back to even Washington is on record, George, that is, forming political parties. Because eventually you would put party over country, and you would put ideology over, because parties push ideology, where country pushes country. And again, back to history, whoever won the popular vote was president, whoever came in second was vice president. About balance of power, imagine that conversation in the Oval Office.
I love it.
But
Or public debates between the president and
Trump
vice
and
president.
Hillary.
Yeah.
Is that tank?
I said, Trump and Hillary, how would that go?
That would be an interesting
Well, they were friends in the 90s. Who knows what little proximity do.
True.
But I think we need to ask, gosh, I was just almost quoted. We need to ask again, not what our country can do for us, but what can we do for our country? And first thing is vote. And as a Christian, you have to vote, because what you just said, Stephanie, it is a manifestation. Government is a manifestation of the order
Yes.
that God created when he created us. And we have to vote. And we need, as Christians, to decide maybe short term, we need to take over one of these parties. Which one are we closest to taking over? Let's take it over, because when you look globally, what society do you want to live in? A Muslim society or a Christian society? And we are having real invasion happening in this country. And if the Christians don't unite, we could be in some trouble.
That's right. We saw a movie this weekend. I just put a word up about it. I hope you all saw it. The Great Awakening, George Whitefield, the Great Awakening, when he came over from England, what he was went through in England, facing the same kind of societies that are stacked for generations, like you mentioned in the Parliament, and then straight through today when he landed. I listened to his message. The story was really something, but the message was his message. And it was so simple that what it did was exactly what you were saying, Scott. It changed their hearts to where their eyes were open. And when their eyes were open, because they were hearing from their heart, who they just filled with the Holy Spirit, what this nation was to be. And it was said that the Great Awakening was really the force behind the Continental Congress that finally got everything done. And that's when they first prayed for the first 4th of July, of course, was a little later. But the thing that I thought about to myself when he got up to preach, my goodness, rather than hitting all these topics and trying to, because everywhere we turn and look right now, we could get so frustrated. Whether you're talking about transgender, whether you're talking about school education, whether you're talking about the way they're working against each other in Congress, whether you're talking about, oh, Lord, look who's running Congress, some of these people, the Democrat Party, these things, everything is against what we say. And it goes down to what you said there, Scott. What do we really want? And what we need to do is search our heart first so the eternal question is answered. And when that's taken care of in this nation, we will see that we want this nation to be given to our children, ready for them to have it answered and to move forward, like you said. Pick what you want. And that comes from the Holy Spirit's leading inside. I was really touched by that movie. It was very, very powerful. We studied the Great Awakening before, but it was tied so close to the American Declaration of Independence and what happened a few years down the road to pull up the most argumentative, the most threatening, the most horrible group of men you can imagine to each other. I mean, they were taking each other apart. They were going to split. The Union would not survive. The Continental would not become America. And what did they have coming towards them? Well, little things like the War of 1812 and everything else. But when they came together that way, it changed everything. It changed because of prayer. And we need to have that vision to face what you said, Scott, and to get out and do what you're sharing, Ron, and be who you said, Tank, all of that. It all comes from a change of the heart. And like I said yesterday, Easter, he's alive. Are we? The world doesn't know if we're alive as Christians or not, unless we do some. And it's not 3 points on a Sunday, like you said, Steph. You guys are so smart. You got such great sons there. It's who am I all week long? It's you don't know who's going to cross your path. And when that person crosses, pray that God gives you the word with the vision, like Scott said, that says, I love this country, not because it's the United States of America, but because what it was built on, what it stands for, and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't like that, that's okay, but we're going to choose that. Excuse me, I'm done. Somebody take the offering now. No,
I love it.
I have a prayer challenge for all your listeners.
Yes.
Whatever God is piercing your heart for, you think there's a problem with the government in that area, find out who the cabinet member is over that area of our government that's affecting the thing that touches your heart, and pray for them daily.
Yes.
Pray for God to move on them. Pray for God to protect them. Pray for wisdom for them. We're going to be in meetings with many cabinet members over the next month or so in fighting machines that have been against this country, our health, the health system that has put us in a chemical dependency society, our farm
Yes.
system that is decaying, and we need to. So I'm just pray for Secretary Kennedy. If you don't pray for anyone else, he's on a mission to help the Secretary of Agriculture
Yes.
sustain our farming, protect our food. You talk about food security and food deserts in this country. It is now a national security issue. Pray for Secretary Kennedy as
Yes.
he wants to make us healthy again, and he wants to sustain farming and work with the Secretary of Agriculture. Imagine what this country would be if the farmers could sell to the schools, to the universities, and that every child in America from birth to 5 years of age has sustainable, healthy food so their brain can fully form to
Yes.
their capacity as an every American child should have that. That is outrageous that we don't have that today.
Yeah, amen.
That things that are being talked about in this administration, please lift that up as we'll be in meetings around that over the next month.
Let's pray about that right now, and then remember to pray for. Let's pray for Scott on this, and for Pam, the two of them together. And Tank, you want to pray for that one? You're a medical doctor. That's right up your area. Maybe pray for what he shared.
Sure. Dear God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, please. Please put angels around RFK and anybody that supports him, that helps him, that brings the wisdom and the truth, that protects our children like he's trying to do with vaccines and food and obesity in the youth and sugar. Just let him battle. He's a smart guy. Give him the wisdom that he can bring those truths to our like that we can have a healthy society and that protect his family and him from any evil. That's it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Scott, Pam, you two are just God's servants, put in a special place. Yeah.
Yes.
What's that? No,
Oh.
time's up already.
Time's up.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't have a 2-hour show yet, but we could after 6 years coming up. Yeah, we're working a lot of things. Some of you may know somebody who's preaching the message you just said, Scott, and Pammy's right where you've been sharing. And that's Brad Stein. Just put a word in for him. I don't know if you know Brad Stein. He's probably the greatest comedian I think has ever been born, and a committed, born-again Christian. Where do you hear his story? He's something else. He's been around a while, but he's incredible. He'll be with us coming up here in June. We've got 2 minutes right now. Steph, could you give us a 30-second verse for people or a vision?
Sure. Well, it's funny because health is near and dear to my heart. So when you started talking about that, Scott, I was like, yes. We have a neurodivergent center around here, and I was really surprised, like a world-class one. They don't look at diet or nutrition at all. And it's disheartening because it is fuel and it's the foundation. And if you look at the Lord gave us the earth to produce, right? So there's so much in that, and we need to get back to simple basics. It's so important. My guess is what you actually wanted me to say, Joe, was that you can go to bbsradio.com/.
No, that's quick enough. Yeah, tell more what you're saying. I like it better. I like it better.
The Bible is clear to take care of all pieces of us, not just one piece. And we like to overlook the health piece. And so I'm really glad that you brought that up. We're just grateful to have you guys here, that you've been so faithful to sort of the political side of the faith movement for such a long time. So thank you for doing that because that's not an easy position to take. It's a vulnerable position, and we thank you for doing that.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Paul, you have a quick thought? We got a minute.
I was going to give 3 points to my Bible study yesterday, but you blew
Yeah.
that one out of the water. So I won't give 3 points, but I will give you a poem. And it's a part of an old hymn that we don't sing in church anymore. But the words in the refrain said, "Join hands, then, brothers of the faith, whatever your race may be. Who serves the Father as a son is surely kin to me." And I think it would be good for us to remember that. You know, our war is not with each other.
Man.
But
That's right.
and
That's good.
just something to think about. I read today that 13, 13 Christians are killed. Were in 2025, 13 Christians were killed each day.
Okay, Paul, I got a wrap. Put that thought.
And it just for their faith. So let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. Amen. Whatever it may call it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Please remember that everywhere. Thanks for being with us. We're so glad you're here. We'll be talking to you, Mr. and Mrs. Pyle or Scott. We appreciate you guys. All right, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week, same time, same station. And God bless you. And pray all week for what was shared tonight. God's got Amen. Something good he's going to do, and you're going to be part of it. Talk to you next Amen. Week. Bye-bye. Amen.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.